So what's going on, everybody? Hope you guys are doing well. Episode 215, the rules of reaping. Yes, the rules of reaping. Why is it that most people, you see people out there in the world not reaping their harvest? Why is it that most Christians do not reap their harvest? I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to go through eight rules of reaping that you need to know about and put into play so that you can actually reap your harvest. Gang, I'm telling you that you might sit there and say, well, I don't believe in reaping, you know, or it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, then stop breathing in air. Stop reaping air. Let me put it that way. Gang, sowing and reaping is a two-way street. You have to have both. And I'm going to talk about these things, and there's rules to it, and I'm excited to be able to talk to you about it. Listen in, tune in, get ready, strap in. Here we go.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Fellow Marketplace Christians, stop apologizing and start winning. Welcome to the Success Edge, the show that helps you take your walk as a Marketplace Christian to the next level. Here's your host, Christian entrepreneur Tyler McCart.
All right. Well, there's a reason why I wanted to talk to you guys about this, and I'm still in this series of becoming financially independent or financially free in this earth curse system. How to be financially free in this earth curse system. I'm not talking about the the traditional mindset again of what the world has out there of becoming financially free. I mean, I can hear some business mentors that I've had in my mind listening to them, and they say, you know, you're not free until you're economically free. Well, that's true to a certain degree, but that's based upon the earth curse system, all right? And as you have declared your allegiance, and I'm assuming you've declared your allegiance as a born-again believer to the kingdom of God, because we're talking kingdom success. My goal on this content, on this podcast, on my YouTube channel that I have, my goal is to help you maximize your kingdom potential, especially in the marketplace, especially if you're in the marketplace doing business, doing commerce, you have a job or you have your own business. My goal is to help you maximize that. And we need to know how to apply these things, these spiritual principles of the kingdom of God in the marketplace. And I want to talk to you guys and take you to that next level with the rules of reaping. I've got eight things listed out, and I've got this article that I downloaded back in actually August of 2017 and put in my Evernote file. And it's called The Rules of Reaping Your Harvest. And it's by, it's on the Kenneth Copeland website, kcm.org. I'll actually link this article actually in the show notes so you can actually go check it out. But I actually took, there's actually six of them, and I've added two of my own. And you're going to hear my perspective on these things. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Well, if you believe that, that's actually Luke 10, verse 2. If you believe that, then why are we not reaping more than what we sow? I have so many people out there that I've heard them say, I remember this one business partner of mine that was actually in my business. And basically, they came to me and sat down and said, Tyler, I'm sowing, but nothing is happening. So why does this happen? And I remember sitting there thinking in my head, bro, don't be saying that right there. Don't be saying that. You need to come into an understanding. And I mean, we went over some things. I helped this guy out, but we went over some things. And at that time, I didn't even understand totally how to reap your harvest until now That was whenever I was like 25, 26, 27 years old. I did know that you shouldn't say that. I did know that. Don't be sitting there confessing, you know, I keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing and nothing is happening. So why is this? Why do we see certain believers reaping these huge harvests out there and we see other believers reaping nothing, or they don't seem to be reaping anything? And I mean, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to go that direction right there. Stay on track, Tyler, stay on track. All right. But here's the thing. It's real simple. Why is it? Okay. The ones who reap, I'm reading this actually straight from the article. The ones who reap the harvest are those who figured out the laws of abundance, or the laws of the kingdom that overcome or override the rules and laws of this world or this earth curse system. And they've learned to operate in the rules of reaping. Gang, I was listening to actually Gary Cassie last night, and he was talking about the kingdom of God. And I just have to, you know, kind of dovetail real quick onto this so that you guys can hear me when I say this, is that the kingdom of God is based upon laws. There are laws in the kingdom of God that you have to apply, because there's the spiritual realm and then there's the natural realm. Well, the spiritual realm always supersedes and always actually is the predecessor of the natural realm. And so therefore, guess what? What's in the natural realm is actually in the spiritual realm. Okay? So, hear me when I say this, is that there are laws here on this earth that override other laws. Well, you know, for example, the law of gravity is overridden by the law of lift and thrust. So you can look at a huge double-decker jumbo jet plane out there, and that jumbo jet plane that weighs upteen thousand tons, you look at that and say, you go, man, there's no way in the world that thing can fly. But you know what? If you have a renewed mind, which we all do today, we would know that, guess what? The law of lift and thrust overrides the law of gravity. Well, the same thing applies with the kingdom of God. There are certain kingdom laws that you can actually apply and know how to utilize in the kingdom. And I don't have time to go into those, but let's jump into this real quick. Okay, so here are these eight things, okay? Number one rule of reaping. You've got to name your seed. Yeah, that's where it all begins. Now, I didn't know this a long time ago, and I was just, you know, doing my thing of just sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing, and I didn't have a clue about this until I heard Jesse Duplantis actually give a talk, you know, name your seed. And he actually has a talk out there. It's a fantastic talk that he gives, and it's, I think it was cut back in the early 90s. But go and find that talk. It's on YouTube probably. You'll find it. Listen to it. It'll give you a whole lot of understanding about name your seed. But this is all based around actually Romans 4:17, which says, and I'm just going by memory, I don't have it actually pulled up, but it says, you know, God calls those things that be not as though they are. Okay? So watch this. When you take a seed, a package of tomato seeds, all right? When you get a package of tomato seeds, what if we just took the package and didn't put anything on the outside of the package? We didn't name it. So you didn't have a clue what kind of seeds. Let's say we laid out all these packets and they were all blank. They had no name to them. And you started looking at them and you're going, well, I don't know what seeds these are. I have no idea. And you go and you say, but I'm hungry. I want tomato seeds. Well, you just start randomly throwing corn seed. You start randomly throwing cucumber seed. You start throwing pumpkin seeds. You start throwing all these seeds out there. But really what you want is tomato seed. Well, the only way is you've got to know the name or know the actual type of seed that it is. And you've got to say or name the seed so that when the harvest comes up, you can recognize your seed. So the practical application of this is, like, let's say, for example, that I'll just give you, for example, in my own life, I believed God for a debt-free house or for debt cancellation in my life. And God led me to sow into a man and woman of God and pay their mortgage payment for 1 month. And I named that seed debt-free house or debt cancellation. It was an either or for me. That's just kind of where I was at. And I did that. And you know what? Guess what I'm living in right now? Yes. Thank you very much. I'm living in a house that is debt-free, that is fully paid for, all because I named that seed. That is a rule. That's a law, all right, in the kingdom, okay? So here's the thing. Number two, reaping is not automatic, all right? This is something we have to know about right here, all right? Let me go in here. I'm going to say, in Proverbs 10:5, it says, a wise youth harvests in summer, but one who sleeps during the harvest is disgraced. So we have this misconception, guys, that when we sow seed or when we sow seed that all of a sudden we have no other part to play with that at all. And that is a misconception. The way it works, and I'm going to lay this out for you, the way it works is we sow the seed. Number one, God grows the harvest or brings the increase, and then we reap. So notice, we sow, God grows, we reap. We sow, God grows, we reap. That is a picture of how this whole process works. Now, I'm going to read this real quick right here. How can you call in your harvest? Consider the farmer who invests time and money in planting a crop. Then at harvest time, he simply sits on the porch, watches it rot in the field. Our response would be, that's crazy. Unfortunately, that's the way some Christians think. Many sow their seed, then just wait for God to reap the harvest. And that's not how it works. We've got to renew our minds to this, guys. Okay? How does this work? All right? How is it that we need to do? We are sitting around waiting for God to do all the work when it works this way. We sow the seed, God grows and increases the harvest, but then we go and reap. So, I'll give you a for instance of this, all right? Just a very practical thing that's happened in my life, an experience that I had, all right? So in 2006, I accepted my first true B2B outside sales job where I was working from my own home and I was calling on B2B customers, selling them office supplies. And this is my first time actually doing this at all. Well, I accepted the job in, I believe it was August 2006. Now flash forward to I think it was right around March of 2007. Yeah, my time frames are right. Well, I got put on quota in January of 2007, and really my boss did not give me any training. I mean, I had like this 2 weeks of training where they sent me down to corporate headquarters to learn what I needed to learn about the systems of everything. But really, they didn't teach me a whole lot of things about selling. Well, I got called in to my boss's office and he sat me down. This is right around March, the end of March of 2007. And yours truly, Mr. McCart, had only brought in about 20% of my quota for the quarter. Only 20%. I remember looking at it. I think it was 21%. Well, yeah, that was not exactly a good thing. But watch this. Now, I didn't know about rules of reaping, but I was getting ready to start to apply the rules and, you know, seed time and harvest in my life. And this is what my boss had me to do. And I just followed what my boss told me to do. He said, Tyler, you're going to be put on actually a PIP. All right. Don't ask me what that means right now. But anyway, it was something that I had to work at to stay on with the company I was with to show improvement. And he said, look, I want you to every week send me a list of 40 people that you have talked to face to face about our opportunity to do business with them through our office supply program. Well, Mr. McCart at that time had not been doing any of that. So I asked my boss, I said, sir, where do you feel like, based upon my territory, this is smart. I didn't really know I was being smart about this, but this is smart. I asked him, sir, where do you feel like that the greatest opportunity is for me to go and do this? And he said, why don't you go to Florence, South Carolina? And I would go to Florence, South Carolina, and I would start prospecting there. Well, Tyler, yours truly, did just that. I actually went to Florence. I drove an hour to Florence, which that was the drive from Columbia, South Carolina to Florence. And I basically started this whole entire process. And what it was is I was sowing seeds. I mean, I was filling out the form of all the businesses, all the people I was coming in contact with and talking to them every day. And at the same time, you know, believing that this process was going to work. And so guess what? God took that seed of me sowing all those contacts, and flash forward to, I believe it was June. So that was end of March, April, May, end of June. Tyler had actually, because of all that, it wasn't until the latter part, notice I said the latter part of June, that things started to transpire and I started to reap accounts. So I had to sow, but it took some time that I wasn't seeing any results, but I had to do this. And then in the latter part of June, all of a sudden, I did exactly what my boss told me to do, by the way. I mean, I turned in my report of 40 people plus every single week. And as I did that, lo and behold, I started reaping. And then guess what? We had a regional sales meeting. And guess who got the most improved award for the quarter? Yes, I did. I had taken my sales numbers and being right at barely 20% for the quarter Q1 to going into Q2, where I had increased my sales numbers to having over 50% of my quota, which was a drastic increase. And basically that's what my boss wanted to see me doing, is that there was actually increase that I was actually doing. I was showing improvement. And you know what? I kept my job. I mean, I stayed with that company right there. That was 2007. I stayed with that company, and lo and behold, guess what? Mr. McCart went all the way until 2017. Yeah, 2017 is whenever I finally parted ways with this company. And you know what? I can attribute it to this whole entire reaping is not automatic, but you have to sow, God grows, and then we reap. I had to go out there and gather up those accounts. I remember one of the accounts that was a construction company, one of the biggest actually in South Carolina, that I called on. And I remember I'd called on her like two or three times. And then lo and behold, guess what? She goes, hey, I walk in one day after calling on her like three or four times. And she goes, the lady says, yeah, actually she wants to see you. And I'm like, oh, she does. And I walk to the back and she goes, yeah, ask her, actually, Mr. McCart, I'm ready to actually open up an account with you, and I'm ready to place an order today. Well, let me get it going today. I dropped what I did, and I began to reap from that harvest right there. So that was number two. Number three, reaping requires faith and imagination. Now, this is vitally important, all right, right here. Vitally important. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4 says this, farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant, all right? They never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. So gang, let me tell you, you have actually got to believe when you actually plant that you're going to reap a harvest. This is paramount, paramount. When you actually sow, I'm going to read this right here. To reap a harvest, you must first have faith in your seed. You must have faith in the seed that you sow and that you've named. If you sow in faith, you know, K-N-O-W, you know you will reap. Oh, wow, all right. So this is good right here. You've got to keep the weeds out once you have sown. And what are the weeds? The cares of this world, the negative circumstances that might come up to want to get you distracted, the negative talk that comes out of your mouth, or the negative talk that you might be listening that you don't need to be listening to. Those are weeds. Those are things that are going to detract your faith. The other thing that you've got to focus on, because I remember gentleman Mike Murdoch saying, men fail because of broken focus. It could be women. Women fail because of broken focus. Here's what it is. You've got to fix your imagination. You've actually got to see in your mind's eye. You know, your imagination is the birthplace, is the womb for all of your harvest to actually come forth. God's given you an imagination to use. I'm reading a book right now by Andrew Womack called Imagination. It's a fantastic book. But here's the deal. You've got to focus on that imagination. You've got to see yourself receiving that harvest, all right? And you can't grow weary in the well-doing, okay? Galatians 6:9 says in the Message Bible, it says, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't get up. I love how that's worded. And then I want to point this out right here. This is the cycle of abundance. I started this part right here because this is very important. So if you want to start to participate in the cycle of abundance, here's how you do that. You can live in the harvest. I'm reading this actually from the actual article. You can live in the harvest and on the harvest. To do so, you can't quit sowing, and you can't quit saying, you can't quit believing, you can't quit harvesting. That's the cycle of abundance. Let me say that again. That's a whole podcast in and of itself right there. God, I might do that, the cycle of abundance. All right, here we go. To be able to do this, all right, to be able to live in the harvest and on the harvest, here's what you do. You can't quit sowing. Number one, you can't quit sowing. Number two, you can't quit saying, and I'm going to get into that actually on the next point, point number four. You can't quit believing, and then you can't quit harvesting. Man, that is good stuff right there, all right? So number four, put your angels to work. Give your angels something to do. If you've ever been around me on this podcast or in this content that I deliver to you guys, you've heard me talk about that you have to stay consistent with saying the right thing based upon the Word of God. If you start to talk contrary to the Word of God, you start to negate or dig up your harvest, or you start to allow demonic things to start to plague your harvest. You start to allow the pestilence of demonic things happen. When you empower your angels, then number four is put your angels to work. You empower your angels by actually speaking the words of God. You And I'll just go ahead and tell you what I do. In the morning, when I jump in the shower to take a shower, I do it pretty much every day. I shower every day. Praise the Lord. Well, when I'm actually in the shower, I've got on my shower door, because it's glass, I've got this whole entire thing that I speak. One of the things I say is this right here. I say, thank you, Lord, that I receive the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened that I might know the hope of His calling in every area of my life, spiritually, physically, and financially. I've been saying that for the last couple months here. The other thing I've been saying is I've been really aggressive with this, that I say, and Lord, I send out right now my harvesting angels for Amy and I. I send those harvesting angels out to go and reap the harvest that is rightfully mine. All the good seed that I've sown, I send those angels out to bring into the hundredfold return, because the hundredfold return is working for me now in Jesus' name. You've got to say with your mouth, and because I believe there's a scripture, I don't have it right now, but I believe it's in Isaiah, that it says that your teeth are like the combine. Your teeth are like the things that bring in. Your mouth is the thing that brings in the harvest, that actually brings it to you, all right? Yeah, you've got to physically do something, but it actually brings it to you. Your mouth does that, guys. You're harvesting angels. Your angels will go to work for you to bring in your harvest, all right? Number five, tithing protects your harvest. This is critical here, very critical. One of the most important rules of reaping is tithing. A good harvester is a tither, because tithing is the key to your seed being blessed. Let me say that again. A good harvester is a tither, because tithing is a key to your seed being blessed. Now watch this. When you tithe and you honor the Lord, when I say tithing, you know, there's no written law about tithing in the New Testament, okay? And people get so hung up with this. So many Christians get hung up with this, but don't get hung up with this, all right? Listen to me. When you tithe, when you give a dime of every dollar you bring in, you are actually saying, Lord, I'm honoring you with the first 10% of my income. What this does, it allows the Lord, or it invites the Lord into your situation or your circumstances. And what does it happen? Here's the actual benefit. I actually did a whole entire episode a little while back of the Bill of Rights of a tither. I think that's somewhere episode 115, 116, 117, somewhere in there. I might link that in the show notes. Here's what the benefits are. This is the New King James Version of tithing. It opens the windows of heaven to send rain on the seed that you've sown. Number two, it opens the door for God Himself to rebuke the devourer for your sake and keep the enemy from destroying the fruit of your ground. Number three, it prevents pestilence from devouring your crop and the fruit from failing from your vine. What does all this mean? It keeps the devil out. It keeps the devil out. It keeps the enemy out from actually, you know, bringing negative circumstances or negative situations, you know, onto you, all right? This is why you want to stay plugged in to this. Number six, know when to reap. Know when to reap. Now watch this. In John 4:35, Jesus is actually talking about this right here. It says, and this is the Message Bible, by the way, and you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months, it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a look at what's going on right in front of you. The Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. That's John 4:35. Gang, every crop has a season for planting and every crop has a season for harvesting. All right? You have to be patient and let the word finish its work. And don't jump ahead of this. There's timing involved with this. That's Ecclesiastes 2:2, that a right time to plant and a right time to reap. So how do we know when to reap? Let me read this, all right? This is good. I got to start. One way we know something is ripe is when it just falls off the tree. Imagine that, okay? That apple, it falls off the tree. It's ripe. It falls off the tree. You got to pick it, okay? Pick it up. That's true in the natural. And guess what, guys? It's true in the spiritual. When the time for your harvest has come, things just start working. Circumstances fall miraculously in line. People just start doing their best to help you in that area. It becomes obvious. The blessing has done its work and harvest time is here. I go back to that example I used of whenever I had to do the whole entire 40 contacts or 40 face-to-face meetings per day. And you know what? Isn't it interesting that I remember this very distinctly. There was this one, another construction company out there. And when things started to line up and things started to, harvest time had started happening, like what I just said, of when. I remember this lady who I had dropped a packet off, who I had tried to call on, didn't. She calls me back a week later and she goes, "Hey, Tyler, you know, I actually am ready to go. I'm ready to do this." This is a different construction company, all right? And lo and behold, I went in and was able to find out that she had an account, but it was a dormant account. And she says, "Yeah, Tyler, actually, I think I've got an account and I believe it's dormant or I haven't used it. Or if I've used it, I've done very little on it because I just never had anybody help me out or call on me to work with me." And so I went and did my research, and guess what? She was doing her part. She was actually helping me to reap. Guys, I'm telling you, things like this happen when you actually have this mind of reaping, right? So number seven, know where to reap. You've got to know where to reap, all right? Isaac planted and took a huge harvest, all right? And God blessed him. But this was during a time of famine, all right? Now watch this. So knowing where to reap is very important. Unlike a natural farmer, we're not always going to see the return in the same place where we sow the seed. It's going to happen somewhere else, right? Now, I got an example of this. This happened in my own life, and I'll give you the example, all right? So let me just read this to you, okay? The Lord will show you where your harvest is located. The Lord will show you, guys, all right, where your harvest is located. It may not be where you expect, but stay in tune with the Holy Spirit during this time. It's vitally important so you don't miss the doors of opportunity that He opens to you. And just a quick example, when you look at actually Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, Peter nearly missed his harvest. So Jesus, the story is real quick, Jesus is using Peter's boat to proclaim, the kingdom of God to the masses. And guess what? Peter sowed his boat. And guess what? While Peter had sowed his boat, God was going to do the growing. And guess what? Peter had to do the reaping. But Peter almost missed it because he got a specific word from the Lord, aka Jesus, a word of knowledge, to say, "Hey, go cast your nets out and bring in a haul of fish." And Peter at first said, you don't know what you're talking about. But then he did it anyway. Watch this. This happened in my own personal life. I didn't know. I just knew that I needed to sow seed because I knew that things were shifting. I could sense things shifting in my spirit man. And I remember the company I was working with, that there was an opportunity for my boss asked me, hey, Tyler, I know this is not going to impact you or not going to help you out, but can you help me with this deal that I have? I've got to put together all this furniture and get it ready for display so that we're ready for this bid opening and they can see the examples of the furniture. And I told my boss, my district sales manager at the time, I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll come. And I knew that this is going to take maybe a whole day. It actually took me 2 days out of the selling field, out of my selling field of me doing what I need to do to go and help him. And I saw this as a seed. And I said, you know what? And I even had to go deliver the stuff too, myself. I mean, he didn't even deliver it. I delivered it for him. And lo and behold, I go and do that. And I knew that this was going to be a seed sown. I didn't know what the seed, I just knew the seed was going to be sown for furniture, for more furniture opportunities. Notice that. The seed was named for more furniture opportunities. Okay? This was sometime actually in, I believe it was right around August, maybe July. Yeah, I think it was July, August, sometime when all this was going down. Well, isn't it interesting that when I sow that seed, literally a couple months later, in the latter part of October, I felt led to look outside of that company I had been with for almost a little over 11 years. And I did that, and I called on I reached out to a young lady on my LinkedIn profile, direct messenger, and she was the new vice president of, guess what, a furniture manufacturer of education furniture. And when I reached out to her on October 31st, lo and behold, in January of 2018, I received a new position selling furniture specifically with a huge, or at least that's what it seemed to me, huge increase in my salary, and I reaped a harvest. Now you might say, oh, that's just coincidence. Bet me, buddy. You believe what you want to believe, but I'll believe what I want to believe, and guess what? I have the results, and I've got the things that are proving it. You got to listen to Holy Spirit where to reap. Be led of the Holy Spirit. Don't be led of the circumstances of your life. Be led of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be open to just figure out, just to believe and receive. Be open to this. Believe and receive. Don't resist. You got to resist the temptation. I'll say this right here and move on. Resist the temptation to try to predetermine or try to figure out in your own mind where and how the harvest will come. Can't do that. I didn't know that all that was going to happen whenever I sowed that seed, but God was setting me up. I knew that the whole seed time and harvest was happening, and that's what I did. All right? The last thing is right here. And this is it. Okay? Pick up the fragments. Pick up the fragments. Do not allow, when you receive everything that God has you to receive, that means you take it, you receive it, you lay hold of it, you claim it, you procure it. It's not a passive process. You've got to take hold. And the fragments, you don't leave anything behind, all right? The fragments, Jesus, basically, if you remember this, Jesus actually told the disciples to pick up all the fragments that were on the ground. And basically, he had 12 basketfuls they picked up. This is actually the feeding of the 5,000. And it happened again in the feeding of the 4,000. Well, those baskets that were picked up, no one knows what was done with them. I had two schools of thought. Either one, they were harvest, extra that was given to the boy that sowed a seed so that he could take back and have more than enough to give back to his family after he sowed his, two-piece fish dinner right there. But then guess what? Here's another way to look at it, that it actually fed the disciples. I mean, who knows? I don't know that. But you don't leave any of the fragments on the ground. And the one of the reasons you don't want to leave any of the fragments on the ground, you want to pick up everything that you have of that harvest, is when you do that, you actually put more seed back in your pocket or in your spiritual bank account, whatever how you want to look at it, and you get to sow again, sow those fragments again. Again, remember, what is the, what did I say? The cycle of abundance. Here, let me repeat that one again. Let me go look at my notes. Hang on 1 second. Cycle of abundance. Here we go. To be able to live in the harvest and on the harvest, to do so, you can't quit sowing. You can't quit saying. You can't quit believing. And you can't quit harvesting. You don't leave any of the fragments. There's going to be overflow with any kind of harvest that you receive. And you pick up everything you can. All right? Don't waste anything. God doesn't believe in any waste or whatever. So pick up everything you got right there. So that's the eighth one. Pick up all the fragments. Take them all in. So, wow. All right. So Success Has Community, I appreciate you guys tuning in to me today. I'm going to leave it at that right there. Those are the eight rules of reaping. Let me say this right here. Kind of something I'm thinking about. I'm actually definitely still posting on my YouTube channel a lot of the vlogs, kind of my daily behind the scenes of me doing things in my life and how I'm working right now. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check that out. The other thing I'm doing with the YouTube channel that I have is I'm actually going to take what I have right here, this episode right here, and I'm going to do a very condensed version. It'll be maybe 10 minutes or less of this actual condensed version instead of being 40 minutes. But you can always refer back to that if you just want the highlights and summaries of it. I'm going to do that. But the other thing is you can always go into a deeper dive by coming onto the audio podcast and actually tuning in that way. So, gang, if you want to sow, if you want to sow into me, I give you two options. You can do either my Patreon, which is down in the show notes. It's actually patreon.com/Tyler McCart. Or you can actually do a one-time sowing into me. I welcome that. That's actually found in the show notes too. It's actually through my PayPal account. You can do a one-time sowing of, you know, whatever. I do believe, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this out there publicly, I really believe that here soon, Tyler McCart, I don't know why I just really sensed this in my spirit, and I just put this out there boldly and have no qualms saying this. I believe that someone from the content that I create, someone is going to sow into basically the, you know, kingdom success or whatever I'm going to be calling what I'm doing. It's going to sow $100,000, and then eventually someone is going to sow $1 million. I believe it, and I receive it. Gang, know that you're blessed, you're highly favored, you're empowered to prosper, you walk in divine health, the spirit of breakthrough is on you, and gang, we'll catch you on the other side.